Hello and welcome back to Unit 10 of the Christian Leaders Institute class, Reading and Writing for College Students. In this unit, we're going to be talking about writing and the critical thinker. I'm Sky Pike, and this particular section, we want to look at the critical thinker, what they argue. So this is going to be somewhat a review, but we'll bring in some new information to help you think critically through the process of what a critical thinker is. So, critical thinking is a process by which we identify the statements that are supported by evidence. In other words, they're the arguments accompanied by, we actually evaluate, or we do our thinking in such a way that we accompany our thoughts in such a way, structure them that they have premises or assumptions, presuppositions, evidence, and then conclusions. When we are not thinking critically, our thoughts are going to be unconnected, unstable, illogical. They're going to seem incoherent at times, and difficult to understand. There's not going to be a sequence to them, a reason to them. There's not going to be any congruence to them between the beginning, the middle, and the end. It would be as if someone was saying, I'm going to St. Louis, but I am not going to go to the east of the Mississippi River. In fact, I'm not even going to go to the Mississippi River. I'm going to go to England. Well, St. Louis is not in England. It's in Missouri. It makes no sense. Can you think of a time when you used to think in such a way, when you didn't use critical thinking, when your thoughts were not coherent and they were illogical, when your thinking, when your thoughts were shallow? Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but now that I'm a man, I think as a man. Are you thinking as an adult should, in a very critical way? Are you still thinking very childish thoughts? Many of the recent sitcoms that we have in front of us on TV, and especially the soap operas, are really all about that. They're about the shallow thoughts, the thoughts that never go any deeper than oftentimes the sexual escapades or the greed or the just very shallow relationships, very shallow thinking, very shallow thoughts that never really get into real reasons of living, real questions of living, and real struggles in the mental abilities, the mental cognitive states to know how we should live. So we have to be very careful about shallow thinking. We have to think with very solid, stable, logical arguments, because without thinking with those, without thinking the stable, logical arguments and without fundaments, other people catch on. It's contagious. It speeds like wildfire through a society, through a culture, through a church. And for some reason, once we get used to this way of thinking, it's very, very difficult to get out of it. It takes a real revival in many ways of our thinking to be able to do that. It takes a renewing of our minds, as the Apostle Paul talks about, to be able to get back to true critical thinking. My grandfather, on my mother's side, was a very intelligent man, highly intelligent man. And one time a lawyer said of him, he can't be a farmer. He talks in paragraphs, in coherent paragraphs that are connected. And my mother said to this lawyer, she said, no, that is the way he thinks naturally. He thinks in a very logical and critical manner. And I can truly say that he was, with just a high school education, he was probably more learned and a better critical thinker than many college professors. So don't let the fact that you're where you're at today stop you from critical thinking. It's absolutely a process that you study and develop these skills, especially as you learn to write. So just as we've studied in the previous units, how to read, how to understand, how to comprehend, how to write, we want now to think more about how we can develop our critical thinking. The more that we're going to acquire the skills, identify the logic, understand how to see in our own thoughts and thoughts of others the argument and the flow of thought that they have, the more our minds are going to be taught to be trained critically. Once we are trained, we're going to better be able to see how what we're reading or what we're writing is embracing knowledge and wisdom, and how it becomes, it helps us to become the true critical thinkers. So what does a critical thinker do? What was my grandpa like that made him a critical thinker? Well, this is very true of my grandfather. He investigated the evidence for and against different ideas. He just did this naturally. He had theories that he would weigh and balances. He would test those ideas. Were they good? Were they bad? He would look at the facts, and then he would weigh them. What is better? Which is not? He would test the evidence by going, looking at this, whatever it was he was thinking about, from different angles of thought, so he could try to get it from different perspectives, so that he was able to cross-examine how his thoughts were and whether his thoughts were right or wrong through that cross-examination from different angles. He would definitely consider alternative perspectives and explanations of what he was doing. He loved to build houses and build things and make things. And he would go over in his mind what was the best way to make a particular house or a building. And for every thing that was in that house, he had a reason, and that he wanted it in that particular way, the way he built that house, and he had a reason why he had rejected the alternative perspectives and explanations. And he would tell you if we asked him, not in a bad way, and he would teach us how he thought in that way. And many of the critical thinking skills I have are because of him. In the end, the critical thinking is going to reach an informed opinion, because of the evidence, because of a good reasoned argument that brings about a logical conclusion. And he'll be able to finish a sentence saying, this is true because of this or that. And at the same time, it's always going to ask, why am I being told this? Who is telling me this? What am I being told? Where's the evidence to support this? How much of this is rhetoric? How else might you read the same data? It was not unusual for my grandfather to take a saying that someone had, something they had told him, and evaluate it for the reasons behind what they were saying, why that particular conversation was good or not, why it was what they were saying was true or not, what was the alternatives to what they were saying. And it was just the way that a critical thinker, someone like my grandfather, would think. And this is true. The critical thinker, like my grandfather, and I find myself doing similar things, when this is always sharpened by education as well, where I'm always like constantly reviewing the evidence in my mind, if I believe it or not. If I see something in my life or in the world that is not consistent with the scripture, for instance, the greed in the world, the corporatism in the world, where we see a constantly centralization of all economic powers. I find that people want to put us in two camps, either communist or capitalist. And when I review the evidence for doing that, I realized, wait a minute. There are other ways of thinking about economics besides being a communist or a capitalist. There are shades of perceptions in between that we have to evaluate the evidence of what is good and what is bad. Then we take the scripture and we say, what we're considering good and what we're bad, does the scripture back us up? Does it say what we're thinking is wrong? Or does it say what we're saying is right? We need to be skeptical and suspicious of everything that we think and others think. The only exception, to this rule is what the scripture itself says. The scripture, God's word, because it was inspired by God, is inerrant, infallible. It has no mistakes. It has no errors. And it is the verbally inspired word of God that we cannot look, we should not look with skeptical and suspicious on what it says. We should take that and look on our own thoughts with skeptical attitudes and suspicion, because if where we do not agree with the scripture, then we are not right. Critical thinker is always looking ahead, wondering what the implications are of my thoughts. Where is the logical conclusion of how I'm thinking going to take me? They're always stepping back from how the personal immediate feelings. Critical thinking is a very unemotional way of thinking. If you remember from the Star Trek series, you had the Vulcans who had completely devoid themselves of emotion, kind of like the Stoics of the old philosophers. The Vulcans, the Stoics, they wanted to take emotions out of every decision, and whatever the logical conclusion was, that is the one that they were going to use. A critical thinker is going to do their best to take out their own emotions for or against something and only look at the pros and cons in a very cognitive, as unemotional as possible way. A critical thinker is also going to examine data from different angles. When you are in school, in classes, you may learn, for instance, about the theory of evolution. Now, you may agree with that theory, you may disagree with that theory, but do you know why you agree with that theory or you disagree with that theory? Do you know why you agree or disagree with some other theory that is there, for instance, the six-day creation theory? Do you know why you believe that? Do you know why you don't believe that? Are you stepping back and looking at each of these things from different angles to be able to begin to evaluate what is correct and what's not correct? Are you checking the accuracy of your information, your sources? Are you checking your logic, the logic of your argument? Are you looking for flaws in your logic? Flaws in your argument. This is critical that you keep going, looking at the accuracy of how you're thinking, looking at the accuracy of your logic, looking for flaws in your argument. And are you trying to put yourself in others people's eyes and looking at how they would view the problem differently? One of the reasons why people accept evolution so readily is because if they believe there is no God, it's the only theory that has any chance in their mind of doing things. They still miss out because there was a beginning. But with saying there is no God, you are only left with natural processes such as evolution. But can we understand how someone who says there is no God would only see evolutionary origin of the species to be valid and would reject anything that had to do with God, including miracles, including special creation? Do we know why we believe differently than that? How about checking statistics and other empirical data? Checking undeclared assumptions. That's a huge one. Are we looking at the assumptions of ourselves, of others, when we read or when we write, that are not declared but are underlying the arguments of the others? And finally, is what I'm reaching as conclusion, is it informed inclusion? Is it taking as much information as possible and making something new out of it? So is it easy to be a critical thinker? Absolutely not. It is hard work. Even for those of us trained to be critical thinkers, those of us who do it naturally, like my grandfather, it's still hard work. It is something that has to be developed and always redeveloped and always honed to make it the best it can be. So don't give up. You can do it. You will do it. But and especially when you're writing your essays, make sure that you use these critical thinking skills. Go through those questions as you're writing that we just went through and find out what it is that you are thinking about. Or if you're reading, find out what the writer is thinking about. Always be asking those questions, even in your own thinking, on special topics, on different topics, on common topics, whatever the topic may be. Always be evaluating in your own mind what you have said and what you are thinking. In a way, you're going to be like this butterfly that they're in the pupae here. And then they get to the chrysalis just before they're ready to go. And as they come out of that chrysalis, they have to struggle. Or else they will never be able to become a true butterfly that can fly away. Their wings will not develop. Without that struggle, you will never develop your critical thinking skills so you can fly as a writer and as a reader and as a thinker. Struggle with these. Go use those questions we just went through, those observations. And as you struggle, you will put the circulation into your intellectual wings and you will be able to fly just as this butterfly, as it struggles to get out of the chrysalis, is able then to make its wings get circulation to them so that they can stretch out and one day take to the skies. So should we be critical thinkers? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. And why should we be critical thinkers? Why? Because we want to be able to fly in our intellectual capacities and see things from new perspectives that we never saw before. The butterfly, when they were a caterpillar, only saw things from the ground. When he was in the pupae and chrysalis stage, he saw it was very narrow in the view and couldn't see really anything at all. But when he struggled, or she struggled to develop their wings, to get out of that chrysalis and develop their wings, that butterfly was able to take off and fly. I don't know if you've ever heard of the journey of the monarch butterfly. It happens over three generations, but they go all the way from central Mexico up into Canada and back again. It's an amazing journey that is repeated, has been repeated since the dawn of creation. And it's an amazing ability that the Creator has given them. The Creator has also given you the ability to critically think. But just as this butterfly will never fly without that struggle of getting out of the chrysalis, without flapping its wings and taking off, you too, without struggling how to think critically, without actually trying to read and write critically, will never be able to do it. But if you do, just imagine the things you'll see and the heights that you'll go to in your mind. These butterflies, the monarch butterflies, are found to be thousands and thousands of feet up in the air when they fly. They actually take advantage of the jet streams. Let us take advantage of the heights of our intelligence by critically thinking on things. And that way, you'll become a better writer, a better thinker, and actually a more integrated person. Being a critical thinker, it's challenging. It's messy. It's hard. It's frustrating. Nevertheless, that should be our aim, to become a critical thinker, both in our college and as Christians. As Christians, we need to critically think about everything that we're doing. Critically think of it in relation to the scriptures, in relation to God's character, his love, his holiness, his eternality. All those things that are God that he reveals to us in scripture. When we become a critical thinker, we are ready to study a field in a professional way, starting by writing. When you become a critical thinker in theology, you are ready to start thinking about theology and the Bible correctly. And when you start critically thinking about theology and the Bible correctly, or correctly dividing the word of truth, then you'll be ready to teach others how to think correctly about the Bible and theology as well. But the first part of this critical thinking is going to be to start writing college papers. So as you do that in Christian Leaders Institute, please do your best to critically think through a topic. Go through and ask yourself the who, what, how, why, and where, and when. Go back to these questions in this chapter and ask yourself about that topic to start the process of critical thinking. Do that all through the whole process of writing your paper, from the pre-planning to the planning to the draft to the revision. And all the times you circle back in that, make sure you go through this process of critical thinking at each step. And that way, you're going to become the student that you know you can be and what God has made you to be. So we thank you, and we look forward to seeing you again in the near future. Take care, and God bless, my friends.